Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Romeo United Methodist Church. My name is Pastor Devin, and I'm so glad to be here with you, that you can join me for this day of worship, that we can have this time together. And it is a good day to be worshiping our Lord. It is the first Sunday of the month, and as you see before me, we have our communion elements prepared. And we're going to be receiving communion today, and we had a few people ask. You didn't need a cup coming in, because we're going to do it with you coming forward to receive the elements today. So we will be doing that a little later in the service, but don't worry, you didn't miss your cup coming in here this morning. So we will be doing that later. I have a couple other quick announcements. First, our Odyssey kids, you're going to have a short rehearsal after service today with the choir for the song that will be sung next week on Mother's Day. So if you can just hang around, stick in the Odyssey room afterwards, they'll be gathering you up from there to prepare for that here today. For our slightly older students, our teens and youth, Margie's preparing to do a ministry class for those who want to be able to help with Odyssey and VBS and those type of things, going over the expectations and all that. That is being planned for May 21st after service, so 2 weeks from today. She's going to have pizza for you, so come and she'll get you all trained up and ready to go. If you have any questions, you can stop and talk to Margie or catch me and we'll fill you in. Also downstairs, the Yahas have a board set up. They're having a party here in a couple weeks for the birthday of the church for Pentecost. And as part of that, we're buying birthday presents for the church, is how they're phrasing it. We've identified some needs, some items that are needed by the church. For anyone coming to the party, you're welcome to. But anyone else who just wants to help be a part of that, that board is downstairs. Feel free to grab one of those tags, and you can bring those items in and help us. There are a few other sign-ups downstairs. The men's group has the baseball game, the home plate event at Tiger Stadium. That's down there. You can get information and a few other sign-ups down there. So as always, I encourage you to check out what's going on around here. And finally, after service today, we will be staying here in the sanctuary for anyone who would like to be a part of the information session after worship. Kind of an update as to the current state of the United Methodist Church, where we're at, where things have been taking place is regarding the disaffiliations and votes and all those words you might see on your news feed or read about or see on TV. I have some information I'll be able to share with you and answer any questions to the best of my ability. We'll just stay in here after worship. We'll be doing it today and the same thing on the 21st. I'll be doing the same information both days. So if you can't make it today, please plan to join us the 21st. And I'll be able to do my best to answer any questions I can for you at that time. But those are the announcements I had given to me here. So let us do the reason we're here, what we came to do in this hour, and that is worship our God. We're going to start with hymn number 701, When We All Get to Heaven. So will you stand with me as you're able to sing hymn number 701, When We All Get to Heaven. Thank you. Will you pray with me? O God of all creation, become for us once again the solid foundation upon which we build our daily lives. We gather before you this day to align our lives to the strong teaching and life of Jesus Christ, our cornerstone. Receive our praise and thanksgiving as expressions of our faith and our love. We come to you, O Lord, as people who desire to learn and serve like Christ. We are ready to receive your blessing and your direction today. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading this morning is coming to us from John's Gospel. It's John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. It's found on the page 103 of the New Testament in the Pew Bibles if you'd like to follow along. Jesus, the way to the Father. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and, in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. This, my friends, ends our first reading for today. I'm glad to have our choir with us as they're going to be singing for us communion song. I invite you to hear their song and their anthem for us at this time.
We come.
Thank you, choir. And this time I'd like to welcome any of the children or youth, the young ones that'd like to come forward to join me on the steps, to come on up. That was a fun one, wasn't it? Yeah.
Hi, guys. Come on up.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today?
Good. I'm glad to see you guys up here. I'm glad you could come up and join me.
When you guys walked in this morning, was there something falling on your heads? Yeah, it was raining on you again this morning, wasn't it? We had a couple nice days there, but we got some of that rain back. Well, you know, I had to walk into that rain, too. I was worried I was going to melt, because, you know, I'm sweet, made of sugar, and rain melts sugar. My own daughter's laughing at that one, so. Yeah, well, I wasn't really worried about melting, but it's just, you know, it's rainy again. But it kind of got me thinking. We had a lot of rain the last couple weeks here, haven't we? A lot of days it's been raining. Well, this past Wednesday, I went down to the soccer field. I helped with Beta's soccer team. And when we were practicing, it was a mud pit, just mud. Everywhere, right in front of the goal especially, was real muddy. Muddy to the point where you stood in it for too long, your feet were stuck. Like, trying to pull your feet out of the mud because it was so much mud there. But while we were practicing, all of a sudden I saw the goalie. She was back there, and all of a sudden she was like, she was like panicking. And I ran over to her, like, Katie, what's wrong? What's going on? She's like, there's a worm. There was a worm standing right where she was supposed to be standing, right in the goalie box. And she didn't like it. She did not like that worm. And then, because she said that, about five of the other girls looked and said, oh, there's a worm, and there's a worm, and there's a worm. There were worms everywhere in the mud. And I quickly discovered that a large number of the girls on that soccer team didn't like the worms. They did not want to be in the mud with the worms. They didn't want them crawling around on their feet. So I was wondering, do any of you guys have things that you don't like? Worms or snakes? Spiders? Any of you? Anything like that you don't like? No? What about you out there? Any of those things? Spiders, snakes, worms, some of those creepy crawlies? Yeah. What's yours? Eddie's thing that he doesn't like is chores. Those sometimes sneak up on you too, don't they? Yeah. But, you know, so we took care of Katie. We moved the worm a little bit, got him out of the way. We did what we could. And but it kind of got me thinking that, you know, even those worms, those snakes, those spiders, whatever those things might be, even though we don't always like them, sometimes we think they're kind of scary or gross or whatever it is, that they all have a purpose, don't they? They all do something good for our world. The worms help the soil that they live in. The spiders eat the bugs, especially those mosquitoes that we don't like. The snakes take care of keeping small little rodents like mice from getting too many out there. All those animals, even the things that we think are kind of gross or scary or that we don't like, they all have a purpose. They were all made by God for a reason. And I was thinking about that for my poor worm friend that Katie was just about dancing all over at the park. But I was thinking about that for us too, that each one of you was made by God, just like the worms, just like the snakes, just like the spiders, just like everything else. And that God made you just to be you. To be how you are, to have the interest you have, to have the size you have, whether you're tall or small or big or whatever it is, God made you to be the person you are. And I think that's such a wonderful reminder that God made us for a purpose, that each of us have something to do, that I'm here and doing my purpose. I hope, I think I'm doing my purpose as being pastor, that all the people that are out there, they have their jobs that they go to, whether they're teachers or they work in the automotive plants or whatever it is they do. We have people who do all kinds of amazing jobs out there. They're all needed. We need to do all those things, and God made each of us for that purpose. And so I just want to remind you of that, that's how God made you, to be the person you are, to be the little boy or girl you are right now, to be the man or woman you're going to grow up and be someday. And I want you to remember that God made you intentionally. God made you to be you. And God loves you, and guess what? I do too. And I think all these people out here, they love you too, because you guys are pretty great. And so we're glad to have you. I know that Mrs. Hostler has a fun activity back there for you guys to help with. It's actually helping us for next week. So if you can help her with that, I really appreciate it. And I'm going to say a word of prayer before we send you back to help out with that, all right? So can we pray? Dear Jesus, I
I do give you thanks for this day. I give you thanks for the rain that's falling, even if it brings out those worms crawling out of our ground. We see them crawling around, Lord. We know that they are doing what they were made to do. They are serving the purpose as a part of your creation. And for that, we're thankful. And Lord, I just pray that you remind each of us that we are a part of that creation. We each have a purpose. We each were wonderfully, beautifully, fearfully made, and that you have a reason for us. For that, we give thanks. I give thanks for each of these boys and girls that are with us, those that are watching online and can't be with us. We are thankful for all of them. And we pray today, as always, in your holy name. Amen. Well, thanks for coming up, guys. You can head back there to Odyssey if you want, and we'll see you later, all right? Thank you. While we are thankful for the children and little voices in our congregation, we have other joys and concerns we celebrate. And that's why we take this time in worship to lift these each and every week. And I have a couple that I want to share with you. The first is a joy, as well as a bit of a concern or a prayer for the future. We have with us Heidi and Leif are in our midst this Sunday morning, and we're glad to have them. But if you remember, they announced a few weeks back, they're actually in the point of transitioning and moving towards Houston for work and for career. And so we celebrate that with them. That is a joy for them. We are happy for them. We're sad for us. I know Margie's sad to not have them back there teaching the kids because they're amazing and they do amazing things for us. But we know that this is just a farewell for now. It's not a goodbye forever. They've promised to come back and see us when they're home for holidays or other times. So we do wish our best for Heidi and Leif. I know Leif's already, as Heidi explained it, he's been zigzagging the country here. Drove here, flew there, flew back. He's been zigzagging already, but our prayers go with you guys. We love you so much. Thank you for everything you've done for us, and we'll see you soon. Not goodbye, all right? The other one I have to lift is a concern I'd like to lift for us. I'd like to ask us to be in prayer for right now. I was able to speak with Austin as he made his way in this morning. You may remember Austin's father, Dave, was in the hospital for 23 days following an emergency appendectomy. Dave was taken back to the hospital this week with gallbladder problems. And just before service, Austin received a message from his mother that they were planning on going in for surgery to take that out right about now, anytime now. So we put up a word of prayer for Dave. We lift him for the surgeons and for all those that are caring for him, and also for the family as we keep them in our prayers, healing for Dave and strength in the days ahead. Those are the two that I had shared with me before that I had to share. If we have others, Phil has a microphone. Nathan, I apologize. Nathan has an announcement to make, and I didn't give him the chance at the beginning, so please go for it.
Symphonia Chorale will be having our first spring concert today at 3 at the St. John Lutheran Church. All the music is Disney animated film music, from Snow White to Frozen. And this one does come with a dinner afterwards, so it's $40 a ticket. I have tickets, so you can get them at the door.
Thank you, Nathan. I apologize. He asked me for the beginning of service, and I forgot. So we do celebrate that joy, though, in our community, the Symphonia Chorale. So thank you. Are there others that have to share with us this morning?
I have a joy to share regarding my brother, Marty, who has a leukemia. I think the last update was in mid-March. Pastor shared he came home from the hospital after a month, and it was in remission. Since he's been home, when he came home, he was pretty well wiped out from the aggressive treatment. Since then, he's responded, and his energy level is about 90% of what it was, and he's doing most of the activities that he's done. Now, the leukemia is not curable, so he will continue to receive chemo treatments probably for the foreseeable future. But the fact that he's able to live a pretty much normal life, praise God, and thank you for your prayers.
Thank you for that update, Bob. We do celebrate that with you and with the family. That is wonderful news. Thank you. Are there any others? I just received one online here from Shelley. She had asked us for prayers for her mother, Frances. She'd had just a rough go of it here. She's been doing better, but she has been back to the hospital and recovering with slow improvement, Shelley said. So just continued prayers for Frances in the days ahead are appreciated.
Hi, this is Gwen back here behind the piano. The National Day of Prayer was really, really nice. I didn't have never been to one, didn't know what to expect, but the chance to pray with other people and to focus our prayers on where we felt they were necessary. The music was really nice. Pastor did a great job, and the food was good. It was just a wonderful, meaningful event.
Thank you, Doug. When it was a time to be with other Christians from the community to lift in prayer. So thank you for that reminder.
I have a praise. My whole family got together on Friday to celebrate my mother's 92nd birthday. No margaritas this year.
That is a joy, as indeed, to gather for family, but also to celebrate that 92nd birthday. That's awesome. Thank you, Linda.
Hi, everyone. Just wanted to give a big thank you to everyone in the congregation, Pastor Devin, just everyone in this church. My family started coming to this church when I was 18 months old, was baptized, confirmed here, married here. So everyone here is like family to me, and it's definitely sad to be going, but we're excited for the career opportunities. But just a huge thank you to everyone who's supported me and also Leif and I through my life. So
while I was gone, our first niece was born too. So that's a joy to share, and we'll be going, and Heidi's met her a couple of times, but I get to meet my niece today. She is 8 days old.
Well, that is a joy as well. Many joys. Thank you both.
Continued prayer for Beth.
Continued prayers for Beth as well. Thank you, Nathan. Yes. Are there any others this morning to share? One behind me.
My Tigers won.
Debbie's got to pray for the Tigers. 5 days in a row, right, Debbie? Yeah. That's worth in prayer. Say thank you for it. Thank you, Debbie. Yeah. Then I'll invite us to take these that we've heard, those joys that we've lifted indeed, and as well as those concerns, those needs that we've heard. Let us take a moment and pray before our God in silent prayer. Jesus, you are our Lord. You are our rock. We stand upon you and you alone. Build our faith into such that it can withstand all of life's storms, all that comes our way. We offer today these prayers of compassion for families and friends, for those situations we've heard where there is hurt or fear or doubt. Both those situations spoken and those that you've heard silently in our hearts. Remind those that we've named in our hearts with our and with our lips of your love, your compassion. Send that spirit to be with them. Wrap them in your comfort. Wrap them in your strength. Remind them that they are not alone. Teach us anew that the foundation of life is love for you and for neighbor. We pray for the community in which we live and work and learn. We pray for our nation, for our leaders, for those who are tasked with the difficult duty of leadership. In the days ahead of us, offer us, O God, an opportunity. Offer us a chance to be of service to someone in need. Give us a heart of compassion. Give us a heart of openness to receive, to hear the need, and then to respond. Hear our prayers for all those who are ill and struggle to recover health and wholeness. Lord, we pray that you let there be peace on earth, and that it can begin with us in this place, that we can go out into the world. We pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our rock, who is our Savior, who is our Lord. And as now we join our voices together as we offer our Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Continue our service. I'll invite you to again stand with me for our next hymn. It's number 534, Be Still My Soul. Will you stand with me as you're able to sing 534?
Thank you.
may please be seated. As you are, I remind you that we take this moment, we take this time each week to remember to recognize our tithes and offerings that are brought here. If you weren't with us last week, you may have noticed the offering has moved. It is not on the organ bench here anymore. It is now on the wall. We have had a box prepared for us and made there that is mounted there. You can leave any gifts in person here in that box, and they will be counted. Of course, we also have our online giving at romeoumc.com if you prefer to give in that way. I do offer my thanks for the continued faithfulness, the continued ministries we're a part of. I had a chance to speak with Kathy from Samaritan House at the National Day of Prayer, and she just expressed to me that she is blown away time and again by our church and all the churches in this community that continue to support them. They have seen an increased need. They've had an increase of people coming for food and for assistance, but they've been able to meet it because they have so many faithful people who contribute to their organization to make that possible. So thank you for just one small piece of all the things we do as this church. Thank you for your continued giving, for your continued offering, and let me take a moment to offer this word of prayer for our collection today. Redeeming God, the gifts we bring to you this day, we dedicate to the work of your kingdom building here on earth. Even more, Lord, we offer ourselves as material for that work. Imperfect as we are, we know that with Christ as the cornerstone, you can build your vision of mercy, justice, peace, and compassion here in our midst. Let us build your kingdom here. For it is in the name of Christ, our rock and our redeemer, that we pray. Amen. Our second scripture reading for today comes to us from Acts. It's chapter 7, verses 55 through 60. It's found on page 119 of the New Testament of the Pew Bibles, if you wish to follow along. But filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coat at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he died. This, my friends, is the word of God for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. I know I've shared with you recently my family's love of reading. I sat right on these very steps and was able to read one of those favorite stories to you all last week. We do love to read. It's one of my favorite things I get to do with the kids these days when we can curl up on the couch and they grab the stack of books off the shelf and they sit down. Even better these days, some of the older ones are able to read the books for me, so I don't have to do all the reading all the time. But it is something we enjoy in my house, something we enjoy doing together. It's something about being able to get in those stories, to see those characters, maybe let our imagination soar with them, maybe put ourselves into those stories, see where we might play out in those stories. And as I was thinking about that this week, I realized that I sometimes do the same thing with the Bible when I start reading it. I want to put myself into the story I'm reading. I want to be a part of that story, and I do that a lot when I'm reading through the Gospels. As we see the 12 disciples going on their journey, we might feel that Simon Peter, James and John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Thaddeus, Simon, and Judas, we might even feel like they're friends, like we're right there alongside them as they're journeying with Jesus, as they're learning, they're making mistakes. We feel like we're a part of the story. And some of those names we know a little better. We see a little bit more about them. We hear a little bit more about them. They're a little bit more up in Jesus' business, in his face. And I like to think that sometimes those might be the extroverts of the group. They're the ones who are right there. That's why we see and hear so much about them. But then I think that maybe like me, some of the introverts might have just been in the background, still there, still doing what they were called to do, still being a part of the work. We don't know quite as much about some of their lives, but we do know they all followed Christ. And no matter which of those disciples come to mind as I speak of them for you, I do know there's one thing about the disciples, one thing that sometimes is really easy for us to kind of to flip past, to not fully acknowledge. And it's the end that many of these disciples, many of those men, met in their lives. Because for the majority of them, for almost all of them, it's not a particularly pleasant ending that they found. Of the list, only John would actually go on to die of old age. And even he was imprisoned, he was exiled, made to live alone. He dealt with difficulties of his own. But the others, they would all suffer. They would all go on to die a martyr's death, persecuted for their faith, put to death for refusing to stop proclaiming Christ as Lord and Savior. And just so I'm clear, so you don't go diving into your Bibles looking for them, those stories of the disciples' deaths, they're not found in the Scriptures. We don't have the accounts of those in the Bible. Most of them we know through historical context, through other writings. We have them as a part of our continuing Christian story, the things that have been passed down for years. And we know that the ways they were punished, the ways they were killed, they would have been very consistent with the ways and things that took place in that time. They were not pleasant deaths. They were not particularly good ends for any of those men. We don't generally like to talk about that a whole lot. I know I'm guilty of it. It's not something I have preached on a whole lot in the past, because the persecution, the struggle, the fear they faced, it's a difficult thing to recognize. It's not something that we can fully relate to, can we? How many of us woke up this morning with fear of coming to church, with fear that as we're gathered here, these doors are going to be knocked down, that we might be dragged out into the street, that we might be thrown in jail, that we might even be killed for having our faith? It's not something we deal with. It's hard for us to fully recognize and acknowledge. And I believe that for some, that is in part of the reason that we sometimes don't talk about these stories. But then here in our scripture, the words I just read a few minutes ago, we have one of those accounts, one of those direct accounts that's told to us. And it may not have been one of those original 12 disciples that I just named, but the account of Stephen's stoning, it's actually recounted as the first death of a Christian martyr. He was the first Christian to die for proclaiming Jesus. And while I read to you the account of the stoning, of what took place as he was put to death, I didn't read to you what led to that moment. I didn't read the full story as it's told to us throughout the 7th chapter of Acts. We see what happens to lead to this point. Because you see, like many of his brothers and sisters at that time, Stephen was simply proclaiming what he knew, what he had learned from the disciples, what he had learned from those followers, what he felt in his heart. We're told he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he couldn't help but proclaim what he knew. However, the problem was that there were still many, many individuals who weren't happy with this message, with what Stephen was proclaiming. Many who were in positions of power wanted to keep those positions. So they tried to persecute, they tried to silence those voices. And like many of those others, Stephen found himself brought up on charges of blasphemy, of speaking against God. And he was dragged before the Sanhedrin, the ruling body of the Jews, the court that they were brought before. And while he was standing there, as he was standing before that council, the high priest asked him, "Are these things so?" What he was asking is, are these charges, are all these accusations against you so? Are these things that have been said about you, are you breaking our law? Are you speaking blasphemous words? But I don't think that's what Stephen heard. I don't think that's the question he heard. Because his response, he doesn't directly address any of them. Maybe he learned from Jesus and that he doesn't directly answer the question. Instead, he offers another path, another way of answering that question. And instead, Stephen, being filled with the Holy Spirit, it says right in the Scriptures, he goes in and he launches into a retelling of the history of the people of Israel. He goes all the way back to God calling Abraham, to God making that first covenant with Abraham, telling him, I will make you the father of the nations. There will be more ancestors for you than the stars in the sky. You are the beginning. And he moves on from there. He moves to Joseph, as Joseph was sold into slavery.
how it was Joseph's own brothers, his own family, who wanted to see harm brought to him, who were trying to do ill to him, but how God, even through that, used it for good. That he used Joseph to save not only his own people, not only his own family, but the whole nation of Israel through his actions. And finally, Stephen moves to Moses and the Exodus. He emphasizes the struggle Moses had after leading the people out of Egypt, how they constantly complained against him, how they complained against God. They thought they were better off being slaves again, going back into slavery. Stephen goes through and emphasizes each of these points, each of these stories. And the interesting thing is, I read that account, as I read Stephen's retelling, as he recounts the history of the people of Israel, he uses the phrasing of our people or our ancestors. That's the words he uses. He's connecting himself with those Jewish leaders still. These were our people. This is our story. This is where it started with God. But then as he ends that history portion of the lesson, his words change. It changes from our people, and he starts using the phrase, you people. In verse 51, he says, you stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit. Stephen challenges them for their persecution of the previous prophets. He calls them betrayers of the faith and murderers. And he closes by stating, you are the ones who received the law as ordained by angels and by God, and yet you have not kept it. Stephen wasn't pulling any punches here. He was telling them what he had seen, what he believed, what he observed and thought of their actions and behavior. And when it came down to it, they weren't too happy with his assessment. Because what comes next is the scripture I read this morning. We're told that he enraged those gathered, that they were so upset that they rushed him. They dragged him out of the city, and they stoned him. And Stephen died. He was put to death. You know, as I looked at this recount, as I looked at this telling, it reminded me that there's a lot of verses of scripture that challenge me, that make me stop and consider my own choices, my own words, my own actions, how I behave, how I treat others. There's a lot of them. But there's one that is perhaps up there as my most challenging. It's one that I turn to often when I need that reminder. It's found in Matthew 5. It's words that Jesus spoke during his Sermon on the Mount. It's specifically found in verses 33 and 34. Jesus said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Maybe it's just me, but those are pretty challenging words, I think. Loving my neighbor, loving my friends, loving my church, loving those that love me back. I don't have a problem with that. I can do that. I enjoy doing that. But loving my enemies, loving those that hate me, loving those that would persecute me, that see harm done to me, that doesn't come quite so naturally. That doesn't come about quite so easily. Yet here, we just read the account of the first Christian martyr. And that's exactly what we see, isn't it? Stephen didn't beg for mercy. He didn't fight back. He didn't hurl insults and try to offend those that were persecuting him. He wasn't using vile words with his persecutors. Instead, he expressed what was perhaps the greatest act of love he could do in that moment. He asked God to forgive them. Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen extended grace to them. And even as those words came out of his mouth, we're told that he died. That takes a level of faith. That takes a level of understanding. A level that we should all aspire to. Because, my friends, there's one other slight thing in that verse that we can easily pass by because there's so much happening in it. One other thing in that story that we can pass by. Do you remember the name of the individual that was standing there witnessing this? The individual that was watching Stephen be stoned? We're told that it was Saul who was standing there and witnessed this. Saul will go on. He is a persecutor of the church. Saul's going to have an encounter. Saul is going to meet the Lord as well. And Saul is going to be converted. Saul will become Paul. So Paul will go on to author more letters in our New Testament than anyone else. Paul will be a leader of the church. I can't help but think, I don't believe for a second, that what he witnessed as Stephen was being stoned didn't play a part in that. That he didn't remember those words. Remember what Stephen offered, the love Stephen offered in that moment. Stephen's life, Stephen's death made a difference. They were a witness. And Stephen's actions in the face of adversity, they very well, I can make a whole sermon up on those. Make no doubt about it. We could preach on that for a while. But as I was studying, as I was reading this week, there was something else in this text that caught my attention. And it revolved around Stephen's specific experience, what he experienced in this time. Because we're told that as that crowd closed in around him, he was filled with the Holy Spirit and he gazed into heaven. And in heaven, he saw the glory of God. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. I have to say, that would be quite an experience, I think. To look up and see heaven open, see the glory of God, see Jesus standing there. But then as I was reading, as I was studying this, something else really opened my eyes. And it's because of what Jesus was doing in that heavenly scene, what Stephen witnessed. You see, again, if we go back to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, Jesus told his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory." When he comes to judge, when he comes to separate the faithful from the unfaithful, the sheep from the goats, as Jesus says in the scriptures, Jesus will sit on the throne of his glory. But in Stephen's vision, what was Jesus doing? He wasn't sitting at the right hand of God. He was standing there, standing with God, ready to receive one of his beloved children. And St. Ambrose, a theologian and statesman who served as Bishop of Milan in the late 4th century, he wrote about this passage, about this scripture, about Stephen's martyrdom. In that moment, Jesus stood as a helpmate. He stood as if anxious to help Stephen, his athlete in the struggle. He stood as though ready to crown the martyr. Let Jesus then stand for you, that you may not fear him sitting. For when he sits, he judges. That image has stayed with me this past week. The image of Jesus standing there, ready to welcome home one of his own. Ready to utter the words all of us want to hear when that day comes for us. Well done, good and faithful servant. In a later writing, St. Ambrose returned to this theme and wrote, "He sits as judge of the quick and dead. He stands as his people's advocate." People's advocate, I like that word. Jesus stands as an advocate. He stands alongside God the Father. He stands for those that he loves. My friends, as I looked at this scripture, as I reflected on this week, I believe we are called to do the same. We're not called to sit in that seat of judgment because, let's face it, none of us are worthy of sitting in that seat. There's only one who can claim that seat, the one who was without sin. Our calling isn't to sit, it's to stand with our brothers and our sisters, with our loved ones, with our neighbors. Yes, with our enemies, those that we don't get along with, those that might even hate us. We are to stand with them. We are to stand for them, to pray for them, to support and encourage them. We are to love them. All so that like Stephen, we, and hopefully those that we serve and love, that we too may see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That we may have the kind of faith it takes to pray and forgive even those who throw the stones. It's likely that none of us are ever going to be called to truly lay down our lives, to give our life for our faith. It's just a fact of the time and place we live that that's not our calling. But I believe that no matter where we live or when we live, we are a part of a long line.
a long line of followers and believers. One that goes back to those first martyrs and disciples. One that goes all the way back to Abraham and Moses and Joseph. So I pray that we can have faith like they had, like those who have gone before us, that we can learn from them, that we can love like them, that we can strive to live our lives in the way we've been shown, that we may revel in the wonder and majesty of God's creation, and that each of us, each and every one of us, all of God's beloved children, may witness and experience the glory of God for ourselves. Let us take that message of hope and love and forgiveness to the world. Let us take it to others. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I mentioned on the way in this morning, you didn't receive the prepared communion cups because we will be receiving of the bread and cup this morning from the plates and trays. I will tell you, we do have available in the trays some of the prepackaged cups. If anyone is more comfortable in receiving one of the prepackaged cups, please feel free to take them. They will be here for you to receive as you come forward. In just a moment, I'm going to step down and offer our liturgy, the words of which will be on the screen for you. After I'm done with that, I'll invite you. Phil and the Crystal will be serving as our ushers. They'll come forward and they'll release you from the front aisles. We'll come forward by the center aisles to receive a piece of bread and a cup. You can take and receive those. And after you have done so, you're welcome to kneel at the kneeling rail if you want for a moment of prayer, or if you simply want, you can return by the outside aisles back to your pews. I do remind you, it is the tradition, it is the practice of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper. This table is open to all who wish to know Jesus' love in their life. You don't have to be a member. You don't have to be a member of any church to come forward to receive the bread and the cup. So I'll ask you if you'll now join me in the communion liturgy, the words of which are on the screens. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another, saying together, Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, Jesus took the bread. He gave thanks to God. He gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup. Again, giving thanks to God, he gave it to his disciples and said to them, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it. In remembrance of me. And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This time I'm going to invite those who are helping me to serve communion to come forward to receive, and then we'll invite you to come forward yourselves. Of us, the forgiveness you offer to each of us. As we have received the gift of bread and cup, let it be a reminder to us for how we are to be. Those who offer forgiveness, those who offer love, those who offer grace to others in our world. Let it be so in our lives this day and always, we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand for our last praise song, if you're able.
Slain, holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is our Lord God Almighty. Who was and is to all. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. And rainbows of living color flashes of lightning full of thunder. Blessing no longer strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy. It's the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Through all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, bread and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. In all creation I see praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Hallelujah.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is He.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah indeed. Hallelujah and praise to our King. Let us go this day knowing the presence, knowing the love of that King in our hearts and in our lives. Let us go with God's blessing. Amen.